Thanks, Derek. That's, I owe you one. But good morning, everyone. And it is wonderful to see you. And it's great to be together. It really is. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you around something that actually I've had on my heart, because I think maybe out of a cry of my own heart of things that I realized, Lord, I want to experience these things more. And so what I want to share with you this morning really is as much for me as it is, I think, for us and for the, where we're at the moment as a church. And I want to share about experiencing God, experiencing God. And it's funny enough, I mean, actually, it was as if Anil had read my preaching notes. Because, and that's the wonderful thing about the prophetic, that the gift of prophecy or in the church, that it often does highlight and confirm and just actually speak what God wants to say. And I really want to represent God this morning and what he wants to say. But I'll get into it this morning. And I just want to start with a scripture. It's a very well-known scripture. I know in charismatic churches like ours, it's a scripture that many of us know well. It's Psalm 34, verse 8. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And I want to start with there. Then I want to explain and just explain the scripture and explain why I'm sharing this morning, what I'm sharing. There's a reason why I'm sharing this morning. And but I just want us to look at the scripture first. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And you know, something about the experience of the psalmist, of David, when he wrote this, David wasn't just a man who knew about God. He was a man who really knew God. It's like he knew him as a friend. He didn't just know him as, you know, the exalted king of the universe. He knew him as an intimate friend and as a Lord. And it's like he wants that experience for the rest of us. And he says, taste to see that God is good. And, you know, that word taste, I don't know if you've any been outside of a bakery before, and you look inside of a bakery window when they've just made fresh bread. Those rolls that have come out of the oven, you know, fresh rolls, or those fresh croissants, or that cake that's just been made, and you've got that smell as you walk past the bakery, and then you look in the window and you see them put in, you know, and on Canal Walk, normally there's Limnos with the bake, you know, and there's all those fresh baked goods, and you can smell it coming out the door. Now, you know, God hasn't made us where we stand outside the window of heaven and we look in. It's like, I want to taste some of heaven. I want to taste some of that, you know. But what he does is he invites us in and he says, I don't just want you to know about my goodness or know about my love or know about who I am. I want you to taste. I want you to experience. And the word is actually used of someone that eats a meal. That's literally what it means. Of someone who experiences, like when you eat food, you don't just see the food, but you taste the food to know that it is good. And in the same way, that our relationship with God is not just meant to be intellectual knowledge, but is meant to work its way down into be a very real experience that we know that we know that we know the Lord. And I know, you know, after I became a Christian, I got saved, became a believer. And I was a churchgoer. I grew up in church. You know, I was a very good person, but I didn't know God. I knew about God. And I remember after I got saved, I was 18 years old, and I got born again. And I knew that God had transformed my life. I'd surrendered my life over to Jesus Christ. And then afterwards, it's like, but Mike, how do you know that you belong to God? How do you know that you are saved? And it's just like, I just know. I know that I know. How do you know? I just know. It's like, but I know. And actually, Romans 8 says it. It says that the Holy Spirit, he bears witness with our spirit that we might cry at Abba Father, that he actually puts within us a sense of a witness, an inner assurance that we know that we belong to him. And I think this thing is, because I'm preaching this today, because I feel concerned, firstly, with myself, that I think it's so easy, and I think for us, where, you know, where we're in church and we know all the words and we often have a mental assent or a mental sense of, yes, we know what the truth is. We know what right and we know what the gospel is about, that Jesus died for my sins and that, you know, that I'm saved because I've believed upon the work of the cross and his obedience. And like we know that stuff, but actually, am I experiencing, am I burning for God? Am I desiring God? And maybe because I'm in ministry and I get paid, in a sense, to pray, you know, if I have to say it as bluntly as that, in one sense, like I get paid so that I can read my Bible, so that I can share with people and feed people, and I'm very busy ministering and giving the whole time, as I know some of you are as well. But I feel sometimes, Lord, am I seeking you because it's just the right thing to do, or do I have a desire? Would you increase in me a desire for God, not just to tick the boxes and, okay, I've prayed this morning. Sure, okay, I've read my Bible this morning. I've done the religious thing. And I guess it's a concern that, you know, we can go through life and we become actually like Pharisees, where they had orthodox belief. They believed exactly the right thing. Or the devil. I want to say the devil has orthodox belief. In a sense, the devil is not an atheist. I've said this before. The devil knows who God is. He knows that Jesus is God the Son. He knows that the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. He knows it intellectually, but he hates God in his heart. There's no desire. He's wicked in his heart. And I think sometimes we can come into our churches and have people that intellectually, they might even raise their hands in worship, but in their hearts, they hate God. They're not serving God. They're serving themselves. They want religion to be for their own purpose or their own, it's a hook for their own lives. And I just see myself like, Lord, I never want to be a Pharisee. I never want to be someone that I want to taste the Lord. I want to experience God. I want to walk with God. I want to desire God. More and more. And I know I'm often ashamed by my lack of desire for the Lord, if I'm honest. I often don't desire the Lord like I think he wants me to. And this is why it's a stirring afresh of like, Lord, would you put in me a burning heart for you? That we wouldn't just be on the outward, but there's an inward burning that belongs to God. And you know, it's interesting, and I want to share three scriptures with you this morning dealing with specifically three fruit of the Spirit. So as you know, in Galatians, many of you know this, that in Galatians it mentions the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It goes through the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, we often outwardly want to show love. We want to experience peace. We want to experience joy, you know, and those things. But if you look at the scriptures that deal with it, and I just want to pick out three this morning, that it speaks about not just walking in love and knowing joy and knowing peace, because I want to focus on those three, but I want to bring out a few things this morning and tie it in to what I'm sharing about experiencing God, okay, and experiencing these things. Because at the end of the day, what I want to share is like, it's not just having a knowledge of it and believing it, but it's actually experiencing him, that we might taste something of the goodness of God, and we could taste it in increasing measure as we have a look. So let's look at the first one, in love. And it's in Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. Now, it's interesting what Paul does here. Now, if you know Paul's writings, I mean, he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul was an intellectual. Paul was someone who loved God with his mind. He didn't just say, you know, in fact, he says at one point as well, don't be like a child in your thinking. That in our thinking, we've got to learn to reason like an adult, and we've got to learn to discern right and wrong. We have to love God with our minds. But he understood that there are certain things that go beyond your understanding. And look what he says here. He says that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. Now, if we stop there, we say, okay, well, we can maybe know something intellectually of the love of Christ. But Paul is not speaking about an intellectual knowledge of the love of God here. He's speaking about something that far outweighs that. And look what he says in the next phrase. He says, this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And he's saying here that it goes beyond mental understanding, what I want to share with you. It's something of the love of God that he wanted them to experience, not just because, you know, they're Christians and they have to now know that God loves them. Don't you know that God loves you? Just believe it, man. He was going beyond that and said, don't just believe it. Believe it, but I want you to be filled with it. I want you to experience that it goes beyond understanding. It goes into our hearts where we experience it. And that's actually the heart where he goes on later in Romans 5, where he says to the Romans, he says, it says that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That there's a sense that his love actually gets poured into our hearts by the Spirit of God, that we get to experience something of it. And it's almost like the difference between like saying to my son, saying I love him, you know, and I can say, you're my son, I love you. And he can know that his parents love him, that his parents look after him and they feed him and they give him a roof over his head and they give him a nice birthday present. His birthday's coming up in a month. You know, he's hoping for a nice birthday present. Like, he might know that, but almost like there's nothing. But if we come and I hug him, and I say, Dan, I love you, and I'll actually give him a hug, and I'm normally stronger than him at the moment, so I'll wrestle him to the ground. And there's some kind of, but it's not just a voicing of it. It's like he's experienced, hopefully, something of the love of the Father because he's experienced it. And I think that's Paul's heart and cry, is like that God's love, that as a people, we know the love of God is because we've experienced the God of love. And we seek him, and therefore we can experience him. And I want to say, don't settle when it comes to God's love. Let's not settle just for that mental assent, that mental knowledge, without desiring, crying after something of the love of God, because he wants to pour out his love into your hearts in a very real, tangible way. And that's very clear in Scripture. So that's the first thing. It's interesting, like a scripture like that, that he's saying, pursue after this, desire it, pray for it, ask God to give you revelation of this. That's the first one of love. Let's look at the second one of peace. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole of the Bible, especially the section before it in Philippians 4, verse 4. When I was a student, I used to have a bumper sticker on my car. I had one of these, you know, these cheesy Bible bumper stickers. It was one of those because in the 90s, like, it was really cool to have like Christian bumper stickers on your car. Today, you don't see them anymore. But I had one that said Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and that was like my scripture. And then later on, he carries on here, and he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And then he says, and the peace of God that comes, obviously, as you've prayed and you sought him and you've laid things at his feet, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And again, it's this idea of going beyond your mental assent, that what your mind can understand. And I think COVID like this has been for many of us, where it's been a very difficult time, where we have been very anxious. There's been a lot of fear that surrounded COVID. There's been a lot of uncertainty. I know for many of you with your work and your jobs and your finances, I know for all of us, we've had fear. We've had anxiety of like, what are things going to look like? But there's something that even if we try and figure it out and you do all the maths and you work it out in your head, it's like you still get left being anxious, right? I know I do. But it's like as the peace of God comes over us, he says it goes beyond your understanding. You can do all the maths, but once you've equated God, once you put God in the equation, he comes and he surpasses all those thoughts and he comes and settles the peace of God over you. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you've experienced a tangible sense that you know that God gives peace, but it's like it's as if you get a taste of the peace of heaven. Have any of you ever experienced that, where I have the peace of God, and it's the most wonderful thing, isn't it? It's the same as the love of God. It's like, it's almost as if heaven breaks in. That's what happens. You get a taste of the coming kingdom. That's what Hebrews 6 says, that if you're a believer, you get to taste the coming kingdom breaking in into your circumstance. And how many of you, when you're in the middle of the storm, as you cry to God, it's like, oh, yeah, I just have this most incredible peace. I should be totally stressed out right now. But for some reason, I have peace beyond understanding, you know? And someone says, but can you write that down for me? And you're like, no, I can't. But man, you have to experience it. It's like, if you're on drugs, get off drugs. Come on to Christianity, you know? As Andrew always says, okay. But that's the second thing is peace that Scripture says. So again, it's an experience that we to have. Thirdly, let's look at the third one, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, Peter writes to these early believers and says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And I love that word, inexpressible. It means indescribable or unable to explain it. That you've been filled with a joy that is so beyond you that you actually can't put it into words. You can't write a thesis about it. You can't write an assignment about it. You can write about it, but it won't capture the essence of the joy of the Lord that can break into your life. And these are things that God would want us to experience, this joy. And I'm praying for more of this because I was saying to Derek earlier, I'm very conscientious by nature. Like, I'm very responsible. I'm the oldest in my family. You know, well, actually, I'm a twin, but you know, joint oldest. And I'm very conscientious, and I've always kind of wanted to do what's right. And sometimes we can be so focused on doing what's right that we miss the joy in the process and just enjoying God and delighting in the Lord because we focus. And these are things that God is challenging me on. Mike, would you trust for inexpressible joy? Joy that you can't contain, that will bubble up within you as you find yourself in God. And I think with all these things, as I land, I want to say that with all three of them, it's not about running after joy and running after peace and running after love. We run after the God of these things. We run after the God of love. That's what 1 John says. We run after the God of peace. And later on in Philippians, it actually says that as the peace of God comes on you, now may the God of peace be with you. And you see, we as we hold on to God, as we come to God, and we make him our refuge, as Psalm 34 says, as we hold on to the God of joy, because he's the blessed, happy God. That's what scripture says. As we hold on to him, then those things come to us. I don't chase after emotions, but I know that experiences follow after me, in a sense. And so we're not a church that, you know, I want to get you, hallelujah, let's go, let's get worked up. I'm not going to get you worked up like some churches do, where they whip you up into a frenzy, you know. That is emotionalism. And emotionalism is not that then you're building on emotion. We don't build on emotion, we build on faith. Faith is we, Lord, I choose to trust you. I choose, even though I do not see, like Peter said, I choose to believe who you are and who you say you are. I choose to believe in your promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I choose to put my trust in you, Lord. But as we do that and as we seek after God, God wants us to be burning for him. There's like, it's a desire that he puts within us that goes beyond just, okay, I'm believing by faith now. But you're like a dried up raisin, you know. What's the word? Or we lose the inward life. And I'm trusting afresh that as we tap into God in our quiet times and on your own, don't, you know, those are things that you have to find in the Lord that he'll put within you a burning heart for him, that you experience. And that as we come out of the quiet place, the secret place, as we spend time with him in his word, those things begin to bubble up out of us. And that's what people find attractive, that when people see that we follow Jesus, it's not just because we have the right arguments, it's because we know the Lord. It's like, what is it about you different? It's like, well, I just, you know, but they can see you know God. Not just know a lot of stuff about God, but that we know God and we pursue him. And that's what I love about this congregation, Wellington AM. You know, this congregation has been marked out with the presence of God, marked out with pursuing after God, but we mustn't lose it. We mustn't, and I know for me, I'm a teacher by nature. I love information. I love stuff. I love the knowledge. I love the mind. But I know that ultimately I have to save and delight in the one who gives the knowledge and the one who gives the mind. And so maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning. The rest of you are like, of course we experience this all the time. But I've got a feeling that it is something that the Lord is just reminding us of. So what I wanted to do is I want to pray for us this morning then as we close. And I want to pray that we'd ask the Lord, Lord, would you give us deeper desires for you? Ask God to put in us a passion for his name. Let's ask God, would you come that we would know this love that surpasses understanding? That let's pray, Father, that we would know this peace that is also that surpasses understanding. That we would have an inexpressible joy. That, Father, that you would come this morning and break out your presence, that we would be filled, even as Paul says, with the fullness of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd put us in, you'd put this in us. That, Lord, that you would forgive us where at times we don't desire you enough and we get so satisfied with the things that the world has to offer and we forget to drink from the fountain of life. And we thank you this morning that there is an invitation where you don't just let us stand at the window of the bakery, but that you draw us in and you say, come and taste and see that God is good. come and taste, come and experience God. And Lord, we want to know you. Oh God, help us. And I know that there's some here, even this morning, that you might feel, but maybe I'm just, how can I even come to the Lord? Does the Lord even, I mean, I'm so ashamed, if I'm honest, that how can God even accept me? That maybe you are there this morning, and you know, but Lord, how do you even, you can't even accept me, because Lord, I'm not living for you. And if that's you, I want to say that God is saying, come, I invite you, I love you, I love you. That maybe you come and you give your worst. That's okay, we come and we give our worst. We say, but God, come, I want to open up my heart to you. Would you draw me in? And right now where we are, could we all just say, Lord, we no matter where we at, we want to open ourselves up for more of you. That God, you give us what we don't deserve. I just feel to say this, that, yeah, just with every head bowed, that there might be some here today that's like you, somehow you think you have to earn your way to get to God's love. You cannot ever be good enough. You cannot earn your way. It's not like going to school where if you get certain marks, you'll earn something. You can never earn God's love. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you at your worst. And if you feel even ashamed to come to God this morning, I want to say to you that he loves you, that he doesn't reject you. He says, oh, come, I've made a way for your sins to be forgiven. I've made a way for you to be cleansed and forgiven, but you must come to me. Don't run away from me. Don't push me away. Come to me. I love you. Come to me. I love you. I want to draw you close. And he loves you. It's like he wants to draw you in. And is there anyone like that with just every head bow that you, it's like you know that, but God says today that would you come and surrender your life to me? Is there anyone that wants to do that? You want to surrender your life to make a decision to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. Anyone who hasn't done that wants to do that this morning? I still want to give that opportunity that maybe we can pray for you if that's you. Okay. Okay, but just where you are, just if you know in your heart, maybe you're too shy to put up your hand or whatever it is, it's okay. But just come to him. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We want to say, Lord, that we want to receive your love. Receive who you are. We want to, God, come and rend our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, where we drink from other fountains. We don't drink always from the fountain of life that you give. Come, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah.
I wonder if we can just all stand and as we sing.